access to get into this temple. And it was at that temple where business was done. Now, in the Old Testament, it was through the high priest that he could make sacrifice to God. He was the mediator. But we know the book of Hebrews says that, man, we have a high priest now. Once and for all, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's our sacrificial lamb, and now he made us part of the sheepfold. We get to go into the sheep gate. It's a privilege, but that's the first door that's got to get working. The question is, do you know Jesus? That's the first thing we got to get working in our life, that sheep gate. Know that we're part of the fold. The second gate is in verse 3 that they built and that they repaired. And it says, but the fish gate, did some of these sons, that they begin to build. The fish gate. You know, fishing in the Bible is always like equated to evangelism. Matter of fact, when Jesus wanted some disciples, he goes down to the Galilee. He looks at guys in a boat. They're fishermen, fishers for a living. And he says, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And so fishing, casting nets of God's grace out. So the very next gate, after being part of the sheep gate, guys, the best decision you should ever make in your life is to accept Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's the best decision. So I've heard many people say that. Christian men think it's cool to say the best decision I made was I was married her. I'll say, not me. Best decision I've ever made was to meet Jesus when he called my name. He became the sacrificial lamb for me. And then the second best thing that happened in my life was when this job I had one time. I'm just kidding. Then my wife would fall in line. But, you know, Jesus first. But the moment you get into the sheep gate, you should be so thrilled that this door, sheep hear his voice, man. We get to go in and out. We get to have fellowship with God. Then we are so in love that I want everybody to know. I want to tell everybody. That's the fish gate. That's where we should cast nets of God's grace out. And everything we should do as Christians and as people should be to get people to go in the sheep gate, right? So evangelism is number two. The third gate we found out was in verse 6. He says, we already talked about this, so I'm moving fast. Moreover, the old gate repaired Joadiah, the son of Well, they repaired this. They call it the old gate. So we started talking about the old gate, or like the prophet said, you better return to the old ways. You know, get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's word. We used to sing that song in church, right? The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the absolute book, man. The old book. And it's the Bible. We think that one pictures like discipleship. It's important for people to, you know, to take them back. Not to, I hate to use the term old-time religion, but you know exactly. It's an old-time relationship. It's been around for 2,000 years, right? Get back to the old gate. You want your family to change? Go back to the old ways. Go to this old book, man. Go back to the Bible, because the Bible says this book is actually as old as the book is. It was established in heaven before the foundations of the earth were ever laid. That's what Psalm says. So this book is an eternal book. It's been around forever. This is God's word. But people think it's now old-fashioned in a history book. Well, what you need to do, what I need to do, we're going to talk about this today. It should illuminate your path every day, right? We got to go back to the old gate and repair it. It's important for the church to stop playing the cool card. Stop, like me, I was trying to brand our church. Quit trying to brand the church and make it look sexy. It ain't sexy. Our job is to lift up Christ, not to brand and lift up some Maple City Baptist church. This church didn't exist years ago. If we don't do what's right, there'll be a time coming up here in the future, if Jesus don't come back, this church won't exist then. You ever wonder that? In the book of Revelation, it says the candlesticks in Revelation. The candlesticks, I better watch how I do that. That's just my largest finger, so I like to stick it up there like that. But when the candle's burning, it says the church is compared to the candlesticks made out of wax. It used to be like animal fats. But that thing burns down, and guys, it don't last forever. It don't. And so our job is to pick that candle up, and before it goes out, light another, and light another, and light another, right? So let's return. We talk about discipleship. Let's get back to the book. Get back to the Bible. Let me give you 5 points on how to make you financially prosperous. Take that elsewhere. There's 17 YouTube channels you can go on and hear that message this morning, right? Here, let me give you 3 principles on how to make your marriage a better marriage, right? And then you go and you're like, where's the scripture? Where's the old book? Nobody's pulling it out. So, hey, young people, you know, you get back from camp, you know, the key to this whole thing is to become old-fashioned. Do what your great-great-grandma and grandpa did. They got on their knees and they sought the God of the universe. They opened the Bible and said, God, speak to me. They got their daily inspiration, not off some podcast, not off the TV, not off the radio. They got it from that old book. Go back to the old book. The old ways work. I should have anybody in here over the age of 30 going, amen. Man, that was good. That's so true. The fourth gate is the valley gate. It's awesome that we hit the valley gate coming back from camp because we had our campers, 20-some campers, like, you come back and you're on this mountaintop. And yet, the next gate to repair is the valley gate. Guys, mountaintops are for great views. They're for great inspiration. Camp did that for us. But you come home and you're back, same parents, your same routine, you have the same friends. You tend to get in a pit or a valley. But just remember, this is not about views and inspiration. It's about God's glory and fruit. Valleys are produced. Fruit is produced in the valley. That's what valleys produce. So, young people, you're heading back to school. Some of you already had your first day. Just remember that coming back from camp. It don't feel as exciting, and sometimes you're alone there. It's in this valley gate. It's in this plush land. I'm just telling you that God's going to produce good fruit in your life. So don't give up on it. And don't always, that's what happens to marriage. You always want your marriage to be mountaintop. And if you're emotionally driven, you get upset when it's not a mountaintop marriage. You know, remember that passage I showed last week when the tribe of Dan, the enemy drove them up the mountain and wouldn't let them down. They wanted to come down. And they couldn't get down. And it was literally totally destroying them. So don't live that way. You think it's always got to be bliss. It's always got to be incredible. Every morning that you're with Jesus, shouldn't it just be like, oh my gosh, the sunrise. You know, the bald eagles flying by while I'm drinking a cup of good coffee, right? Boy, that sounds great. It just don't happen every day, you know. The next date, I shouldn't say that because it's the dung date. You don't want a dung date. Young people, that's a bad, bad situation to be in. It's the dung gate. So out of the valley gate, they said, now we need to repair these dung gates. Now, guys, we know what a dung gate is. Every city needs an infrastructure to get waste out, to get trash out, especially the trash that's in you. Because you need pull nutrients. We all go to the every third world country that struggles with, like, that's disease ridden. This is usually a big point, is they just don't have a proper way to get rid of their trash. Or they'll, you know, I've seen it, you know, now I've seen villages in Belize where they just take it like to the edge of town, but everybody's houses are still by, and they just light it on fire every so often. They asked me to cook, this is being recorded, so somebody from Belize is going to hear me say this, but I got to teach them at some point this. They said, hey, we heard you can grill. And I said, yeah, I don't know how good it is, but we, yeah. So they wanted me to cook these pork chops. They had them all prepared and they lit the fires. So by the time I got to the fire, there was two grills kind of with coals and some wood in there. And I was like, hey, guys, this is not hot enough. This needs to be a little bit more hotter. So they started feeding the fire with trash. And I was like, hey, you know, so I'm trying to be careful here. Like, So finally we got it hot enough that I put a bunch of, like, I mean, I filled this big old grill up with meat. It was still going down, so a guy literally has plastic bottles, styrofoam, cups. They're shoving it in there. I'm just like, I just want you to know, that's your steak under that cup, man. That is going to taste absolutely terrible. We don't use that kind of stuff. We don't use that trash to fuel a fire, but that's what they've just known. They just said, well, it'll light the fire. Yes, it will, but so will your hair. And I don't plan on holding your head down there, right? So the dung gate. I think it's important as believers, guys. I love what they call the business in town. They roll through with their green trucks, and what is it? The big WM, right? WM, and it's waste management. And I'm like, that's exactly what we need to have a proper waste management in my personal life, in my family's life, in our church. By the way, we're doing communion in a couple weeks. That's one thing God set up. It's communion. You come and there's division in the church or any trouble. That's where we get that stuff ironed out. It's where we say Jesus Christ died for us, even though he was not guilty. And we take the blame, we take the heat. So guys, I just want to encourage you, the dung gate. Super important to deal with the waste in your life. Don't live with it, you don't have to. Hey, Jesus Christ died to make us free, right? He died to make us free. I think if you talk to any doctor or nurse, you know, I think even before they'd take a big stance on vaccine, no vaccine, I think they'd say, wash your hands. You know, because there's all kinds of business out there, right? You got dung and waste and bacteria. And I don't know why I'm constantly, my daughter's telling me all the time, Dad, quit chewing your fingernails. I'm like, well, nobody else will. Somebody's got to do this job. She's like, there's all kinds of bacteria. I said, what I'm really doing, it's the cheapest way to build up a good immune system. The antibodies are growing inside of me, you know. And sometimes I spit the nails, right? So it's the dung game. Here's the new one for today. Is everybody ready? The new one for the day is found in verse 15. It says, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalom, the son of Kolhiza. And I'm going to stop reading there so I don't embarrass myself reading all those Hebrew names. So, it's the gate of the fountain. Isn't it interesting that right after get the dung gate working, the next one is the gate of the fountain. Guys, what we have here in this fountain is what we have, a spring of water. The next gate is actually the water gate. This is different. This is a spring. This is a life-giving, and there's a gate right there where there's a fountain. You know what a fountain is for? A fountain is for constant flowing. That's why, don't you get excited when you enter into like a graduation party or a wedding reception? You walk in and they got some fountain up front and it's dark brown, man. You're like, this is going to be a good party. It's ever-flowing chocolate running down that fountain. And I don't know why, you know, we should have them on our kitchen sinks at home. Everything would taste better. Just dip it under the flowing, right? It's the gate of the fountain, a constant flow. And so what I want to show here is in God's word, it clearly says that we are his vessels, right? Like I think of a vessel or like a pipe. And you know how it is. We've had it here. We had sewage just last week creep outside, right outside of our building. It started bubbling up where we put our trash. We're like, oh, under there was a manhole, like some sort of grease trap. And you know what it is? Somebody didn't clear out the dung. Because I'll tell you right now, if you clear out that dung, the sewage is going to flow a lot better, right? That's why in this system, in our world, we got, you know, porcelain stools, and we got water that flows, and it pushes it out. If your pipes get clogged up, the waste will be where you live. As Christians, if we don't deal properly with waste management, then we're never going to experience a flowing of the fountain. If in my life, if I want to remain in sin, if I want to be stubborn and not seek the ways of the God and humble myself, guess what? I'm going to be all clogged up. And God's not going to be able to really flow through my life like he wants to. Just want to encourage you, man. How's the fountain flowing for you? And I don't think this fountain represents just, we always equate water with the word of God, and we're going to do that next week on the next gate here. I think this fountain's slightly different, and what I want to show, I want to prove it like from God's word. But let me give you some principles here, some principles on this fountain. Because what I do, here's what I do, I see fountain in the Bible, and I literally go to a concordance and type in fountain. Every time it appears in the Bible, I want to see it. I want to see wells of water. I just want to see, God, what are you doing here? So let me give you some, I don't have a real great outline. I've never had a great outline. Are you ready? So the first thing I'd like to talk about this fountain is a constant flow of a fountain. I just want you to know this pictures how God wants to relate to us. It actually pictures the spiritual. Do you guys remember Jesus in John 4? He's with a lady at the well. He's like, she's like, I can't even believe you're talking to me, you know, because she's, you know, a lady that he shouldn't be talking to, and a Samaritan. And they're doing business back and forth. He goes, man, the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. He was telling her that he's living water. To a barren and a dry, thirsty land, 400 silent years in the Old Testament, God sent his son down and said, now peace is on earth. Now let's see what happened. Jesus Christ is on the planet, right? Take your Bibles and go to Psalms chapter 36. Psalms 36. Verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. For with thee is the fountain of life. You go to the end of the book of Revelation, and in Revelation, it'll say clearly too, Revelation 7, and it brings it back in chapter 21. Out of the throne room of God, there flows a fountain. There flows living waters. It says in Revelation 7:17 that the Lamb will feed them and then lead them unto a fountain of living water. I like that, don't you? See, it's the heavenly. It's the spiritual. It's when Elijah was struggling and was getting suicidal. He was so suicidal that an angel came down and said, you need to eat from heaven, and fed him from heaven. And this is exactly, I take this fountain pictures the constant flow in our life, the consistency of the spiritual. Guys, listen to me on this one. Excuse me. This is overly simple, but a lot of the things we deal with in life, our issues, our problems, our troubles, little things, sometimes the answer is just simply, you're not spiritual enough. That fountain should be flowing, man. It's not like you go get a glass of water in the morning and never drink the rest of the day. It's what we do with our quiet time. We read a few chapters in the morning, got it down. God told Joshua, if he wanted to be successful, you're going to have to meditate on that day and night. You're going to be so saturated in God's word that it's always on your mind. You need to be a spiritual woman. That's what you need to be. We need to be spiritual men. Proverbs 14 says it's the fear of the Lord that's the fountain of life. Guys, we need a life-giving fountain in our world that's in operation all the time. You know, you're saved, you know Jesus, you got his word, but we need a constant. We need a continual. That's what we need. We don't need to turn it off and on. That's why half the time we get ready to do anything for the Lord, what's the first thing we do? Hey, dear God, I'm so sorry what I did there. The things I said. We're always like confessing. Not a bad thing to do, because you know what you're wanting to do? The dung needs to be cleared out so that the living water can flow. We do that, right? It's a shame that we have to do it. But I'm telling you, as soon as that hits, you know, and they said, I learned this from a lady that experienced the Great Depression, and she said, you know, we had a rule at home with our toy that she says, you know, if it's yellow, just let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And I would say in your Christian life, don't take that advice. If you're having a hard time paying your water bill in town, and who's not right now? You go up and complain, anybody go up and complain about your water bill? They're like, yeah, everybody's saying that. Uh-huh. Okay. We're all being hosed. It's okay. You know? But the bottom line is, I don't care what anything that's impure that gets in our life, you know what you need? The flow of water. The flow of God's Spirit using God's Word to clean us out. You know, this constant flow, it's healthy. It's very healthy to have this. And you've seen the video, you know, during the break, I just put a video. There's so many places in the world, but like Africa, you got this one place. Animals hate each other and stay away from each other until there's no source of water. And then all of a sudden, they go smaller and smaller. All of a sudden, you got lions, you got hippos, you got all kinds of hyenas in there. There's a little deer, there's crocodiles in there, and they're all trying to coexist together. Why? They're dying of thirst. They know what's happening here, right? It's going down and down. And I've seen, there's a longer documentary on that. You ought to watch it sometime. It's actually pretty, pretty intense. And everybody really wants to settle where there's fountain. There's the underground springs, right? And you find that in the Bible. That's healthy. That's healthy. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, God says, if you keep my word, I'm going to take you to a land, and in verse 7, he goes, it's got brooks, it's got fountains, and there's depths of water there. So God's even telling them the promised land is a place that is plush with water. The majority of our bodies are made up of water. You ever study dehydration? You know, most people, I like when people are just like, you know, they haven't drank water for 4 hours, they're out in the sunshine, they're just like, man, I feel dehydrated. Dude, you were dehydrated 5 hours ago. You just now are feeling it. Don't trust your feelings on this one. You know, anybody, you want to lose weight, drink a lot of water. Anything they tell you, your doctor always say, take this pill, let me give you this shot, drink lots of fluids. They always say that. Why? It's cleansing, isn't it? the Word of God, but I think this one, even more importantly than the Word of God, or as important, is the Spirit of God. And I'm going to show you that in a minute, but let me finish up this point. Spiritual, it's health. This is health. Israel's army, anytime they could, they tried to pitch near a fountain. Why? So everybody could exist. When the enemy in Chronicles got outside to come in to get Israel, you know what they did? Israel's just like, hey, we got access to these brooks here. Let's dam them up. They stopped the water source so their enemies would dry out. And that's what God even says, that when his enemies, people go against him, he's just like, I will send a strong wind and I will dry your land. So anytime you look at a barren land and you see the dust and the dirt and you're just like, oh my gosh, people are in trouble. Or you've got cultures where people are constantly grabbing jugs and buckets and walking for miles and miles and miles to a water source and then walking back home. Why? Because water, it's a life source, correct? It sure is. And it pictures healthiness. If you have access to water, you can deal with a lot of things. Did you know, there's a great story in Leviticus chapter 11. I know you didn't think there was a great story in Leviticus chapter 11, but there is. It's a hard book to read. But in Leviticus chapter 11, he's talking about this. In Leviticus chapter 11, he says, he's talking about things that like are dead, and when they touch other things, that it's unclean. So, oh, this is a dead thing. Oh, you touched it. Your clothes touched it. That pottery touched it. Oh, it's unclean then. It's unclean. And it keeps saying this, that verse 33, and every earthen vessel wherein any of them falleth whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and you shall break it. Of all the meat, it says, which may be eaten, that which such water cometh shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk, and every such vessel shall be unclean. Yeah, when death hits it. That's right, when death hits it. So what I like here is that if you keep reading on to verse 36, it says, nevertheless, great word in the Bible, nevertheless. Because what it does is it says, never the less. What it does for you and me is it shows us what's less and what's greater. Every time you see it in the Bible, pay attention to it. Because, you know, Jesus says, hey, so go out there, cast your nets, launch out, and they cast your nets on the other side. And what did they say to Jesus? Jesus, we fished all night. We're professional fishermen. Nevertheless, your word will do it. See what they did at that moment in time. All common sense said, don't do that. That's ridiculous. He don't know what he's talking about. He's not really a fisherman. I think he works more with wood. He's a carpenter. But this is God's son. This is God speaking. So we're going to say right now, even though we've done everything we know to do, and we know this is not going to work, his word said to do it. And so our opinion is less. Nevertheless. So watch this. All these things dead and unclean in verse 36. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean. Now, but that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. So here's like a dead end, but it says, you get it near a fountain or a pit, wherein is what? Plenty of water. See, it's healthy. It'll be marked clean. Guys, as we all go through this world, we're trying to please the Lord and give him glory. We get dirty, you know? There's dung all the time we have to deal with. All the time. And just to let you know, if you keep this date, this fountain in your life working, if the Spirit of God, if you're in constant communion with him, if you are a man or a woman that says, I will be filled with God's Spirit. And you know what it'll do? Any dirt, anything that comes along, there's a lot of things out there, and the enemy wants to use it to make you unclean. God will say, she's clean. Why? The flow of water. There's plenty of water in that gal. There's plenty of water in that guy. He ain't messing around. Do you see it? It's beautiful. I just want you to know, it's a picture of health. This gate here is the gate of the fountain. It's not just the flow. I don't want to say it's the flow of God's word. It's actually, I think, the flow of God's Spirit. And let me show you this. Go to John chapter 7. In the New Testament, John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And it says in verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So check this out. You go to the fountain, the well of life, Jesus Christ, you drink of him. If you believe on him, he says, and then out of your belly, that flow, he wants to continue in you. That's why we get the title in Corinthians 12, we are the body of Christ. Everywhere you go should be a flow of water out of your bellies. It's saying out of your innards, man, out of the deepest part of inside you should flow rivers of living water. Look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. Ding, 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 ding. This is why I think this gate of the fountain is actually the flowing of the Holy Spirit of God using the Word of God. But it says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And then it says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why wasn't the Holy Ghost given yet? Jesus hadn't resurrected. Jesus was with them. He's in their presence. And as soon as he dies and resurrects, that's where we come to Acts chapter 2 and what he says. What's he do? He filled them with his Spirit. And then you'll see in the book of Acts, like he filled them, and through the rest of the book of Acts, you're going to see, and Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, and so-and-so, filled with the Holy, it'll say that word again, so you start learning something about the Holy Ghost. You're like, huh, wow. And not that it ever runs out, you know, because the Bible actually teaches that once you meet Jesus Christ, he enters inside of you. You've got the Spirit, and you've got all of him you're ever going to get. But sometimes we just don't tap into that, do we? It's like a camp. He spoke on the doors and places in our house. There's places you don't want company to come over and open closets. You don't want them to walk in your bedroom and look in there. Because, you know, that's the place where you sleep. It's kind of personal and private. And if you're going to throw clothes around, you're not normally going to leave them lay in the living room. Unless you're a bachelor, you know. But in your bedroom, that's where you can let it be dirty and let, you know. Or you'll just say, shut that stuff in that back room. Like you just pick it up, just shove it back there. And the bottom line is, when you get saved, Jesus Christ owns the house. But there's just some rooms you just really want to keep off limits, you know. And so this is kind of what pictures, I think, here in John chapter 7, is when you seek God, when you call on his name, and he just says, if you're thirsty, call on me. And guys, why don't we simply do that? You know what depression is, don't you? For a Christian, let me say this. Depression for a Christian. Depression for a Christian. I'm not saying you're always to blame for this. I think there's several reasons, circumstances in life. Some of you were just born into an ugly situation. All this stuff can happen for sure. But depression becomes when this gate is not operating in your life. I'm dry. I'm just so dry. Jesus says, hey, if you thirst, ask. I'll give you living water. But you know when you're so depressed, you know how it is. You get self-absorbed. You start looking at you. That's all you can think about. When you simply need to just say, God, I'm dying here. This is a dry land for me. I need your Spirit once again to move into my life and to flow, to this constant flow. And you know, then you get in God's Word. You act upon it, right? You get filled with the Spirit. If you have a jug, and you pour dirt in it. You just pour dust right in the bottom of it. And then you have another jug, and you pour it into the already filled jug of water and dirt in it, right? What happens? Well, you're going to wash some dirt out for sure, but it's still going to be dirty. Nobody's really going to want to drink out of it. Now, what you could do, I don't know if you do this. Wonder why my water bill's so high. I got a pitcher with soap in it. Nobody wants to drink soap, right? So you put it under there, and I turn the hot water on, and I walk away, and I grab and start doing other things. Knowing that it's filled up and overflowing, but you know what I'm doing that for? I'm just pushing the scum out. I'm pushing the soap out. It's the same principle here. We have to have God's Spirit and God's Word in our life. Man, if there's a constant flow, you can remain clean. And I've learned this. I want to take you to a few of these verses here, but I've learned this. If you're filled with God's Spirit, depression has no seat at your table. If you're filled with God's Spirit, the enemy and demons can't come and even speak their voice. There's no room in here for you. It's so simple, isn't it? It is simple. You hear it, you're like, yeah, straight up. Well, why are these things in here? You know, well, wash it. Wash it. Get the constant flow in your life going. Constant. Be filled, what the Bible says, be filled with God's Spirit. So basically, let me take you to a few New Testament passages. Kind of, this kind of can get crazy because people think filled with God's Spirit is a lot of different things, and they get weird on it. They get really strange on it, and it's actually not even very strange. So go over in your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Let me just take you on a quick little journey of three passages, and maybe it'll help us, help me kind of sort this out. Romans chapter 6. Basically, Romans 6 says this in verse 11. Hey, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch this. So Jesus Christ, we're dead to sin, right? You get saved, you're like, woo, dead to sin. Well, verse 12 says, well, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You can be a Christian and sin could reign in your body. You can allow it to have a seat at the table. And verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't even bring it to the table. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So the Bible's pretty clear here that we can still yield to sin, but yet we can yield to righteousness, correct? And so it's very important for you and me to know that, you know, being filled with God's Spirit depends on our walk, and there is a discipline involved with it. There is a yielding. There is a giving into these things. And guys, some of it is simply, I mean, I know I'll fill you in later on exactly what happened here. We're, you know, getting ready to do music, and a lady walks up there. He's listening to her, saying a few things to her. You know what I said? She says, I'll leave if that's what you want. I just said, yes. Game over. It was the game over. She's like, man, I really don't want the church to see me get beat up by a lady. It was fixing to happen, wasn't it? Craziness. Yes. Bye. Don't let the enemy have a spot at the table. It's just that simple, man. Don't yield to that stuff. Don't give in to it. It's funny, through a lot of the difficulty here lately, I've been really encouraged by people. You know, some people come by and just say, hey, man, have you seen this? And there was a little screenshot that said to me, man, did you see what was written on Facebook? Man, I didn't. I ain't looking. They're not going to have a voice in my life. It's literally that simple. So my cat does it all the time. I'm like, you know, come here. Wow, he knows this gig, don't he? And when he's hungry, he wants scratched, he's right up on me. You know it? But I was like, come here, buddy, come on. And then not only that, you know, the tail goes up, and I'm like, that's offensive. That's exactly what we need to do. That's exactly what I think the Bible teaches this. Now check out 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. Paul says this, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we, as Christians, there's things we need to purge ourselves from. That way we can be a vessel of honor. Right? A vessel of honor. You know, you ever been to a place as a kid? Like, you know, as a kid, we'd always turn on the water sprinkler and play in it. That's what now Walmart sells pools cheap enough. Everybody can go get a cheap pool. But you ever been to a place that didn't have very good water pressure? That is lousy. That's lousy playing, man. I'm just like, there ain't enough flow in that hose, man. Or something's plugging up. Sometimes if you just take it up, there's sediment in a little screen they put right before the sprinkler system. Just blow that thing out and wash it a little bit. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what happened? You purged yourself. You cleaned out the stuff that shouldn't be in there. It's just plugged up. And God just says he wants great flow there. So I don't know about you, but if you want to be a vessel of honor, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want this gate of the fountain. I want this fountain gate to work properly in my life. Clean flow. Nothing holding it back. And God says, well, if you want that, then you're going to have to yield yourself to me. You're going to have to go through this process to be filled with God's Spirit. You know, 1 John 1:9 says that, you know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I think some of us have a bad conscience. Here's the good news. You're going to sin next week, but Jesus died for your sins of next week. That's how big he is. He's not bound by time like you need. He's got this down. But to clean my conscience, I purge myself from these things. I confess them to the Lord, or maybe to other people. And then what do we do? Like Romans says, we just submit ourselves to God. We yield ourselves to him. Hey, didn't you read it this morning in our church's reading? You read the verses in 1 John about he's like, God don't want you to be condemned. Why are you living condemned, believer? You know what Romans says to you? Romans just says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not feel the condemnation of the devil. See, the key is this fountain, is to have God's Spirit filling your life. And so, okay, here's how simple this is. It's like deep. If you get in Scripture and get in the book of Romans, you're like, whoa, wow. It's really this simple. Everybody, you know, you go to work. This morning you had to be at work at 7, right? So you go to work, some of you clock in, and they tell you they want you to clock in and out for lunch, then maybe clock in at the end of the day. Some of you are entrepreneurs, some of you own businesses. You know, I get that. But you go to work, or you're like, hey, we got an appointment at 8 o'clock this morning from 8 to 8:30. You're not late to that stuff. You just show up at your appointments, right? So here's the question for you. You're done with work. Your kids don't have any activities like in a particular night. Or maybe they have ball practice from 4:30 to 6. I get it. Then you got to go home and, you know, you got to get dinner and all. I get it. So what you do is you ask yourself, okay, here's the free time I have. I have a little time in the morning before anybody else gets up. And then after work, I had a little window, or maybe you didn't have a window. I didn't have any free time until 7 o'clock at night. So then you add up the hours to where you know how much sleep you need. You add it up. So question for you. What fills your free time? That's what fills your free time? And this ain't fun to preach something like this because it's easy to say. And then my mind thinks of last Wednesday. I'm just like, there's so many things that need done that have a higher priority. But there's days like you, I just decide that I'm going to fill my life with things that just don't matter. And I'm not even talking about, it could even be a project in your home. I'm not even making this overly spiritual. There's just sometimes we need some discipline to get real work done. You know, what are you filling your time with? You know, in the Bible, when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, it indwelt the believer. So I just want everybody to know that Ephesians chapter 1 says that the Holy Spirit indwells us upon salvation. You got it? He's the seal of our salvation. But then the Bible goes on to say that we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to allow him to fill every area of our life. And that's what Peter did. Even though he had a fill, you see him constantly saying, and Peter filled with the Spirit of God. And guys, you know what's crazy? I think we know this. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, what's probably the number one sign that a guy or a girl is filled with God's Spirit? There's two of them that blatantly in the Bible go, wah, 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 wah. These are the two. There's two of them. If you want to, go to the book of Colossians. In Colossians, it says in verse 15, Colossians 3, verse 15. And you know what I probably should do? I should probably okay. We're coming back to Colossians. But go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you this. Ephesians chapter 5. It says in verse 16. Ephesians 5, 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. This is Ephesians 5. You're just back a few books. Verse 16. Verse 17. Wherefore, let be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And verse 18 says this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible just said, don't be drunk with wine. That's clear as a bell, isn't it? People always want to talk. I like people that argue with me about Christians wanting to drink. Well, there's one thing for sure. You know, putting on the buzz is wrong. That's wrong. I don't know how far you want to take this. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm the guy at the buffet that goes, I just can't go once. I just paid $18. I got to get my money's worth. The lady comes by and says, do you want a refill? I'm getting ready to leave. I'm like, thank you, yeah. She goes, do you want a to-go cup? No. Just want my money's worth. She fills it up, and I leave. Right? I don't do that. That was a joke. Bad joke. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Like a drunkard would take on wine, you as a Christian should be filled, topped off with God's Spirit. And look what happens in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. You talk to yourself. It's self-conversation. You got the Holy Spirit inside, and when you're filled with the Spirit, what do? You talk. You're constantly talking in the communion. You speak yourself psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Music's super powerful. You know, quit listening to some of that stuff. You know, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I just want to be entertained. I turn on some music to go, but a lot of times that ain't filling me with right thoughts at all. I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit, but you'll speak to yourself in song. It says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it enters the passage about marriage. So he basically makes it pretty clear. You want your marriage to work? Nobody wants to teach us at a marriage conference, do they? But you want to be a good husband? You want to be a good wife? Be filled with the Spirit. Well, we're having some issues in the bedroom. Stop. Be filled with the Spirit. That's easy. Right? Hard to do, but that's easy. Yeah, be connected with the Lord, and then you'll read down through here, and you'll just say how powerful it is, right? Because Christ and his church are together. Well, we read just this passage that says be filled with the Spirit. The other passage in the New Testament is over in Colossians 3 that talks about singing to yourselves. But check it out, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is Colossians 3:15. And to the which also you're called in one body. And be thankful. Sounds just like we just read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Then he says, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Here's the same verses. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's speaking about here? Being totally filled with God's Spirit. One, it says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Like a drunkard would take alcohol, how are you going to be controlled by God and his word and the Spirit of God working in you? Well, in the same sort of context, Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Spirit of God works through the word of God to fill the believer. That's it. You can't have both. A lot of people that don't get filled with the Bible, they're all the time, like especially when they're in trouble, they're praying, man, God, you got to show up for me now. And you know, God's just like, dude, I've been trying to flow. But you got a mass amount of Charmin and waste just gunked up in them pipes. Don't call advanced plumbing. Get on your knees. Open your Bible. Say, God, I have not been the man I need to be. My relationship with you is not priority. God just says, yeah, you're going to be a vessel of honor unto me now. Just clean it out. You ever do that? I've had a lot of gutter issues. I got a lot of trees on my property now. It's the same thing. And you know, normally it'll be, ask my family, it'll rain outside and it'll rain hard. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I haven't cleaned them gutters out in a while. I go out in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, jump up on the roof while it's raining. And I clean ends of my gutters out. And when I do the bottom half, I'm just like, holy night. If somebody had a canoe, man, they could shoot through my yard. That's how it plugged up. And my whole gutters are filled and water's running over. And what did I do? I finally got smart. I put these little guards up there. Man, that's nice. I went up there the last time it rained and looked. I'm like, boy, this is beautiful. You know? What is it? Well, I put a system in my life where the water could flow. I didn't have to deal with clogs. And it was simple. Some of you, it's very simple. Some of it's as simple as just, hey, knock it off. I don't know about your mom, but my mom used to do it at the table every once in a while. You know, if you take the back of a butter knife and pop, knock it off. Man, you remember that lesson. Knock it off. I'm eating like, oh, I remember. Knock it off. Be filled with God's Spirit. Don't you want a constant flow of him in your life? I know I want it in my life. So let me wrap this date up here. It's healthy to have a constant flow of God's Spirit and his word. Guys, so we got the Bible. We're reading the Bible. I'm hoping maybe some of you will kick in that the missing element for me is God's Spirit. I'm not talking to myself. He's inside of me. and say, you know, man, God, you know, and I do it places. I'm at these groups of people. God, please give me the words to say. I pray. Give me an opportunity, God, to speak for you here. I might be by myself in the car and I'm talking to myself. You know, I'm just like, man, God, you know, I'm praying about things that are heavy, things maybe I read the word, and God, I'm not sure what to do as a church. What's the future look? I'm talking these things. You know what that is? I'm filled with God's Spirit. And guess what? When bad thoughts and impurities come in, that water's flowing so thickly and so deeply that by the time I get home, I'm able, out of the overflow of my life, out of the bellies, the deepest inside of me, there's rivers of water flowing. You know why it's flowing? Because it's flowing here. We live out of the overflow. So some of us are just terrible ministers. You know why we're terrible ministers? It's not that you're not capable. You're just plugged up. You can't live out of the overflow. You're parched. You're parched. And you just need to get this constant flow of water going in your life. Constant flow of water. Can't we learn from babies? They come in and God's kind of hardwired them to do what? To drink and go to the bathroom. Drink, go to the bathroom. And in between every couple, what is it? Drink, go to the bathroom, sleep. Drink, go to the bathroom, sleep. And in between, we're trying to get them to do things. But that's the, just like, wow, there's some power in that, isn't it? For us to be able to rest, you know what we need to do? We need to drink deeply. And yes, the way, keep that constantly going. They say a lot of our disease today, a lot of our issues, they really exist from like the belly down. It's gut issues. They say it's our food and processed and all that. I'm no expert on the thing, and I'm a typical guy that just eats what tastes very nice, right? But we've ate so much garbage that it's our body struggles processing it. And so as Christians, maybe cut the Netflix, cut the Facebook. I went to church camp with our, we did some music for the junior high and high school, and they had terrible cell service there. So at spots where I would normally flip through my phone and just check out social media, news, headlines, we couldn't get any of that. And 5 days of camp went on, I just thought, I don't miss that one bit. Well, a little bit. But I didn't miss it. It didn't affect my life, you know? It didn't. Now, if I came back and I realized there was nobody in our church and the rapture took place and all those of us at camp didn't go, now that would have been bad. I would have been like, man, I needed cell service, right? But, hey, if you go against God, just to let you know this, if you go against God, yeah, he'll dry your fountain up. And I'll tell you, a big problem with people is this. Guys, listen to this. The Bible, God used the prophet Jeremiah to tell us people, the problem is, now, this is good, you've substituted a living fountain for something else. You've rejected the simplicity of being a godly man that prays and gets in his word and walks in my spirit, that seeks my direction on everything. You're skipping out on that step. Right there you're skipping out on. So what do? In all of your morality, and you cleaned up your language a little bit, you changed some of your habits in your life. So what you do is you create this own like false, like watering system in your life. Let me show it to you in Jeremiah chapter, let's go to chapter 2. I'm landing the plane, man, I promise. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Watch this, this is awesome. He's telling his people, he says, for my people, Jeremiah 2, 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. But watch what they did. It's not like they looked at the Lord and stuck their tongue out at him. They hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that could hold no water. They devised this system in their life outside of God's system, what he set up. In these cisterns, and they dug, put it all together in their cisterns, and it said, and they had cracks in them. So they can't even hold water. We fool ourselves. God's people fooled themselves, and they created some sort of false religion. And it wasn't really God's word and God's spirit flowing. The fountain should be flowing. They say, we got a lot of water issues in our basement. We've been dealing with them ever since we moved into our house. And it's not bad. It's just one little corner now. But I finally learned from a neighbor, he showed me some things and talked with him. He goes, Mike, there's two underground springs back here. He goes, so that's why, you know, there's times, you know, even when there's not heavy rains, you know, it just takes a little rain, and a little water will pop up back here. There's a lot of clay back in that area, and he's just working me through it. I was just like, wow, there's a constant flow of water. That's hard to stop, isn't it? I tell you, my favorite thing is, I love when they don't do this in our country because we're too civilized. When people are protesting over ridiculous things in other countries, I just love when they like wheel out these. It looks like, you know, the firemen are coming out. They're like, man, what's going on here? They get out in the street with hoses, and all these guys are throwing bottles, and people are going nuts. They're just like, turn it on, James. And they hit the lever. Have you ever watched these guys shoot these streams of water at people? And it just blowing them off their feet. Before you know it, the streets are cleared out. I'm like, what cleared the streets out? The heavy flow of water. You know what's going to fix the mess in our country? A group of spirit-filled people that can say no against a culture that says yes. And when a culture says no, we can say yes. We stand with God's word, and we stand with God's spirit, and we just let the overflow out of the bellies and the innards of our life. You just can't help it. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I can experience this a little bit when we first knew we had cancer in our house. But Greg Laurie, he's probably the best evangelist, I think, on planet Earth right now. He was actually worked under Billy Graham and did all that. But Greg Laurie, his son got killed in a car wreck here a few years back. And you know what happened to him? His wife said, he got the call, and they said, and the son was like 23 years old or something like that. And you know what he did? He fell down on his knees in the kitchen, crying. And out loud he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm like, that's the book of Job. That's what Job said. Well, later they interviewed him and asked him and his wife, Kathy, they were asking him questions like, man, what a godly guy you are at a time like that. He goes, I didn't even know I said it. He said, at that moment in time, I was squeezed. And what I was filled with just came out. How's that? That's where I want to be. Because the squeeze is coming for all of us. The question is this gate of the fountain going to be flowing in your life? That's what it is. When death tries to get on your marriage, and the Bible usually says unclean, it touched you, unclean. Nope. Not if you have a heavy flow of water. The Bible says, nevertheless, there's so much water there, you'll be clean, you'll be fine, it'll flow. You know how it is. You get a bunch of people bathing in stagnant water, and then they're drinking out of the same pool. That's just not a good combo. And even God says, even when you want to bathe in the Old Testament, he says, man, get in a stream of flow of water. And let it wash down, right? Have you ever done that, man? Have you ever been to a cold stream of water in nature? I don't recommend this, but I've done this a few times in my life. As a kid, I was so thirsty, I did it to this. It was probably more like a pond, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I look back and I wouldn't do that today. But I was once up in Colorado, and there was a stream coming out of the mountain. And I got down on my hands and knees and just... It was so cold and so good. And the parasites, I lost 20 pounds. No, I didn't get sick on that. But there was a constant flow of water, probably of snow melting somewhere that I could not see. I don't know how that all works. But gang, a church, we're looking at all these gates. This is one that I guess I want to really encourage you and myself and God's word, that what happened to being filled with God's spirit? When is the last time you said, God, fill me with your spirit? Don't let me think of myself. Don't let me think about this. Don't let me argue my side of this argument. God, help me just to be so filled with your spirit. It was funny doing some team building. I had some conversations about things. And of course, you know, it's a big deal right now. Like, they're trying to get these guys all hooked up and trying to figure out what's best for the team. And every once in a while, a player will ask me some bizarro question, you know. And, God's given me a couple opportunities, and I'm just so thankful a few days. One guy's just like, you know, at 1 minute, here's what happened. He's talking about, you know, getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. What do you think? I'm just like, you're asking a preacher that question. Dude, if you wanted to talk about picking your nose, I got answers. I won't lie. But then he ended up getting injured. He's off to the sideline. He just says, hey, Pastor, I go over there and he says, hey, man, could you pray with me? Wow, that don't happen very often. But out of my mouth, it just came. I just said, man, are you a Christian? I was just like, oh. I could have just prayed. That just came out of my mouth. And he goes, I believe, man. I'm a believer, but I don't know if I'd say I'm a Christian. It led into a whole conversation of truth and what's your basis. And, you know, your 19-year-old mind sucking all this information from the world up, and you're coming up with your own. You're going to stand and just say, yeah, this is what I believe. I said, so your voice of truth and your basis and foundation for truth is your 19-year-old mind. I said, dude, I got news for you. I'm 51. I win. If that's opinion, if it's just opinion, I'm going to slay you on that one. And we begin to talk, and he says, I'm coming to church, man. I said, hey, let me pray for you. And we pray, but the whole point in me telling that story is just like, be filled with God's Spirit. May the overflow of your life not be, you know, sometimes the overflow of my life depends on what day you catch me. Go Bears! What? What are you filled with? Well, just excited right now about, yeah, but in your spare time and all your spare moments, be filled with God's Spirit. And we know what that means with Colossians, right? Filled with this. And then it'll be the overflow. Hey, Jordan, could you play that last little clip? Don't panic. This is less than a minute. There is some volume on this one. He said, this one, that's a wolf, man. That's a wolf. And he was dehydrated, messed up, and laying to die. And that guy seen it and had an abundance of water and held him by his neck. That thing was freaking out. You know, humans don't really get along well with those. I guess wolves don't get along with humans. I don't know how you want to say that. But what he did is out of the overflow of what he had, all of a sudden this wolf jumps up and runs off in the woods. And what did he say? He'll thank us the rest of his life. If you're filled with God's Spirit and you allow God out of the overflow of your life, You'll be in the grocery store this afternoon. You'll be at work and you'll look over and you're going to see somebody that's so dehydrated. And God's going to use the overflow of your life. And when you give it to them, they'll thank you the rest of their life. Give the gospel, man. Let's give the word. Hey, let's quit being quiet. Because it's not like we're, you know, going out there to fight people to win. Like we're going to win. No, it's just that people are starving. You ever read Matthew chapter like 23? You know what Jesus said? Here's what you do. Find hungry people. Why don't you find thirsty people? Hey, find sick people. Hey, find naked people. Hey, find strange people. And then find people in jail and in prison. They're all needing the Lord. That's our lives. Sick, naked, hungry, thirsty, jail. All these people, all around us are people, and God wants you to have this gate flow in your life. You know why? So that the overflow can come out of you onto them. Let's pray. Let's pray. Matter of fact, man, I went longer than I wanted to today. So if you don't mind, I want to pray, like really pray. And I don't know if it's easy back there, Jordan, if you can put on just a little bit of soft music. Just put on real light music. You know what I like to do? As a church, let's pray. Guys, let's deal with the message right now. Let's just take a few moments. Have you been filled with God's Spirit? I'm not questioning your salvation. Being filled with God's Spirit and having the Holy Spirit inside as your the seal of your salvation are two different things. I'm not questioning your salvation. My question is, are you living a Spirit-filled life? Every meeting you go into, every neighbor you talk to, every kids' event you attend, God wants you to have this fountain. But he said, I want living waters to flow out of your bellies. And he said, I'm speaking about the Spirit. When you accept the Spirit and you become a Christian, once you get the Holy Ghost, then that's supposed to be an overflow living. So do business with God right now. Just say, man, God. And some of you need to cry out and say, God, I need to be filled. Maybe some of you, the pipes are plugged up, man. It's time to get the dung out. What is it? Has God laid anything on your heart? Sometimes when I preach like this, there might be one little thing that pops into your head. Guys, I've literally had a Netflix series that I was watching pop into my head at a time like this. Clearly God was saying, you need to give that up. You're filling your mind with stuff you shouldn't. Maybe that's you. Get rid of it right now. Make a commitment to the Lord and say, God, it's done. I want to be a vessel of honor. Let's take a moment and praise God right now. Let's just praise him and thank him for speaking to us. He does that right where we're at. That we can freely come to church this morning. Bo brought up Afghanistan. There's believers over there that are suffering. Now that a lot of the evil people are loose, they'll target Christians. We're going to have quite a few deaths happen. But that's people that nobody knows. A lot of them are meeting kind of underground. So let's thank God for speaking to us, allowing us to come here and be so bold and play music and just praise his holy name. I'd like to pray for some people right now. Maybe you know people that are hurting or that are sick. You know, pray for them. Our sister Carla just had a surgery, and it sounds like it went well, but any surgery is dangerous, especially when the word cancer is thrown out there, right? And so let's pray for her that the healing would take place in her heart and her life. Like to pray this morning for let's pray for our dear sister Kathy Cooper. She buried her daughter this week. Funerals are never, they never feel good, let alone if it's your child. Pray for her heart and her family. Pray for her son-in-law. Going to need a lot of comfort and a lot of help. Maybe if you know him out of the overflow of your life, you'll be able to give him some water. Let's take a moment. Anything personal in your life, man, take it to the Lord. Now's the time to bring it out. Might be even something you wouldn't publicly want people to know, but man, he's listening, he cares. Man, pray, give it to him, lay it at his feet. Quit hanging on to that. Quit letting logic. You're trying to make all these decisions yourself. It's not good. Let's just take wisdom and hand these things over to the Lord. Church, it's our goal to glorify the Lord and exalt him. And sometimes I think that's going to happen, even when it makes us look bad. We want the best of both worlds, I know. I want everybody to like me and I want God to be pleased with me. It don't always happen that way. Pray for our church. Pray that we would glorify the Lord and know what's serious. and know what's not. Let's pray right now for the Schmidt family. They're in probably a deeper pit than I've ever seen anybody ever in. Pray for them. In the midst of it, they could be filled with the Spirit. They would never lose hope. Let's be a church for them. There's a lot of people that think a lot of different things about this situation. Let's pray for those people too. Good to be around family today. It's been good to be at church. Lord, to sing those songs, man, what a beautiful name. Lord, if it wasn't for you and your name, we'd be sinners, man. We'd be in our sin and lost without you. So thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for resurrecting and giving us life. Lord, those of us that believe in you have accepted you, man, you're in us. We know it. Now, God, I pray that we would be intentional about being filled with you, filled with your Spirit. I pray that we would eat your word this week and let it dwell in our minds, that we would put the eternal over the temporal. Lord, help us not to get drunk at everything happening right now. I know every school is starting and firing up, and we're going to get busy, and activities are going to go, and like in the midst of all that, Jesus, I pray that we would be the overflow. We would be you everywhere we go, and out of our innards would just flow you. Help us to be your church. Help us to unashamedly give you glory because you deserve it. We're more than conquerors today. We know it, man. Your word says it to be true. Lord, we're thankful for church, thankful for all of our teachers across the other building, working with our children. Thankful for youth groups going to happen tonight. I pray that our young people would get together and find a camaraderie. They would grow, they would build upon their faith, that they would learn young to be filled with your Spirit, that they could go and stand in a classroom where nobody else will. You give them that kind of boldness. God, you're doing a good work amongst us. You've changed our life. We love you for it. We want you to be lifted up on high. That's the whole point and the whole purpose. And it's in your precious.